Hey, hey, we're Monkeying Around, a podcast about the monkeys. I'm Veronica Daschle.
I'm Elaine Swetman.
And I'm Charles Kelso.
And we're too busy monkeying around to put anybody down. Welcome back to Monkeying Around. This week, we are joined by Ron McNeil. Now, Ron, we've been a fan of yours for a long time because of the Fab Four, but how did you get into the monkeys? You're a monkeys fan as well.
Well, yeah, it was the other way around. The monkeys got me into the Beatles.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, as a kid, I would run around the house, or so I'm told. My mom would tell me I'd run around singing, "Hey, hey, we're the monkeys." And, you know, like I'm a little bit older than you guys, so I'm in the, you know, that 70s sort of rerun era.
Yeah.
And yeah, they turned me on to everything. They, you know, the Beatles and all the stuff my older sisters were listening to. And so that kind of got me started in music, really, was the monkeys and then later turning me on to the Beatles. So.
That's fantastic. So kind of going back to the Fab Four, because we'll talk about that for a minute and then get into some more monkey stuff that I know you have in the works.
Sure.
If I'm remembering reading up on this correctly, it was like 97 that you first started forming that?
Yeah, it was about that time. I was in a couple of Beatles bands before that, but around that time it started to kind of solidify. I met Artie, who plays Paul McCartney in the Fab Four around that time. And we started getting a little bit serious. Artie was still playing right-handed at the time. And he said, "Look, if we're going to do this thing,
Let's do it upright.
Yeah, exactly. he's like, "I got to go left-handed." I said, "Well, you have fun with that, because I'm not doing that." So, you know, and then a few years later, we got a call to go to Vegas and we started doing that. But yeah, I've been doing the Beatles thing for, 25 years or something like that. So yeah. It's crazy.
That's fantastic. And it was 2019. You've moved more behind the scenes kind of stuff with the Fab Four.
That's right. They said, "Ron, get the heck out of here. You're too old. Get off the stage." No, it wasn't that. It was, like I said, I've been touring that long. I just made 1,000,000 miles with American Airlines.
Wow.
And so it's like, you know what? I think, it was just starting to get to me. Plus, we're always looking for guys. Mm-hmm. We're always looking for talent. We're always looking for guys that, are able to do our jobs just in case we have 2 shows that night or somebody gets sick or understudies and those kinds of things. So we found this fantastic guy in England, Adam Hastings, from a band out there called the Bootleg Beatles. And oh my gosh, he's just amazing. And we said, "Well, if we can get that guy in our group, I can retire." So that's kind of... that's kind of what happened. And I retired for a couple of years. Then COVID hit and he had to go back to England. And then so I started, you know, seeing if my COVID body would fit into the, the Beatles suit again and starting doing some live streams and then going back on tour again. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And speaking of live streams, why don't you tell us a little bit about your monkey project you're working on?
Well, that's always kind of been in the back of my mind too. Because, you know, when you're a kid growing up, like I said, I always wanted to be one of the monkeys or one of the Beatles. And when I got into starting the Beatles tribute, that took most of my life and my career. I did that. I still listen to the monkeys and still did my thing. But since I was in retirement mode, I decided, maybe it might be a nice thing to start up a monkeys something. I didn't know what it was going to be like.
Yeah.
I didn't know if it was going to be a traditional tribute band where people get dressed up or just a bunch of guys in their normal clothes or maybe some whacked out 60s clothes, just singing all the songs of the monkeys. But I was thinking, well, I don't know how many people that would attract. And so I just started rolling it around in my head. I put a couple things up online just for fun, just to show people that I like the monkeys too.
Yeah.
And that kind of stuff. And then I put out a call. And the main thing about the call was I didn't know, again, like I said, what kind of band it would be. Mm-hmm. So I said, well, in the back of my mind, I said, if I can find a guy who can drum like Hal Blaine and sing like Mickey Dolenz and look something like Mickey Dolenz, I might be able to, to do it. Because the other guys, although they're hard, the real hard part is all that really high singing from Mickey and all that amazing drumming that's on the records.
Right.
Yeah.
And so if you can do that all at the same time, I figured that'd be cool. And somebody mentioned this guy to me and I said, who happens to be Josh is his name. Josh is our third string Paul. Oh. And someone mentioned to me that, he sings really high. He's a great musician. And his first instrument was drums. He plays jazz drums and all this stuff. And I said, really? So I just texted him real quick and I said, hey, Josh, you want to be Mickey in my monkeys thing? He said, are you kidding? I'd love to do that. So he said, yes. And I said, well, he said, do you have any other guys? I said, no, you're the first guy. I said, you know, he said, well, what do you think about his friend who plays, who happens to be our third string John Lennon, John Ficus? He said, you know, John looks a lot like Peter Tork. And John is a music teacher. Like, he knows a lot about music. He plays keyboards, plays guitar, plays a little banjo, bass and everything else. Yeah, perfect. And he's got blonde hair and he looks like him. I thought, well, I'll text him too. I said, hey, John, what do you think about being Peter Tork in my monkeys band? He goes, yeah, I'd love to. So I got two on board. And awesome. Then Doug, who is also our third string George, played with Mickey on our tour with Mark Lindsay. Mm-hmm. Doug's a guitar player. I mean, this guy's wicked. I mean, he knows everything, knows to play. Like you said, he's like a guitar player. And I said, hey, Doug, what do you think about playing, you know, Mike Nesmith in the group? And he goes, I'm there. So I got three guys. And I said, well, look, we pretty much have a band. I can sing Davey's parts until we find a Davey or whatever's going to happen. Or maybe I need to drop 100 pounds and I'll play Davey. You know what I mean? Need to be skinny yeah. as a stick, you know? And so I said, we should just start rehearsing and see what's going on. And then I got a call from my brother. We were having some family issues. I normally don't talk to my brother too much. Mm. My brother used to be our second string Paul a long time ago. So I said, you know, I'm doing this monkeys thing. He goes, hey, if you want me to sing some Davey stuff, just let me know. And I said, yeah. Because he's younger than me. He's shorter than me. And he's thinner than me. So I said, okay.
Perfect.
And he does a great Davey too. And I thought, oh, you know what? We might have something here. So we got together. And I don't know if you heard that little clip that we have on Facebook. But
oh, yes.
Like, it just a little tiny clip. But that was us at our second the second day of our first rehearsal.
Mm.
And
awesome.
We just recorded it real quick. And we said, this is sounding amazing. Like, it was really going well without really anybody talking about what we're going to do or anything like that. And so I'm excited and proud to say that the Monkey Men will be coming to your town.
That's awesome. Yeah.
So speaking of which, do you guys have any rough plans for shows?
We kind of do. We got some mostly out here in Southern California. We got a few bites. But you know, people want to, you know, see what you look like, and the costumes are still being made, and you know, we're buying the wigs and the different things, and discussing songs and what songs are going where, and and who's playing what, because, you know, Peter played bass on some songs, and he played, you know, we have the Vox organ. Sometimes he plays the organ on some songs. So we're trying to figure all that out. But yeah, we have a few bites and we have some people that are interested. So very, very, very soon we'll be doing this, and we still need to film a demo and record some songs, even though we recorded that second rehearsal. Most of it's just still in the can, and we just need to actually record professionally. It was just like, hey, put a microphone up and let's see what we sound like.
Right. Yeah.
And clients don't want that. They want something professional, obviously.
Right.
So right.
Well, I just got a picture of the suits and they look great. And so we're going to move on. I haven't been this excited about something in a long time. Cause you know, it's been almost 30 years since I started the Beatles thing. And I didn't realize, you know, you don't remember how hard it was to put a band together, start from scratch, no costumes, no wigs, no show, no dialogue, no clients, no shows, you know, nothing. And you're going, because now I just, you know, if I need a wig, I know where to go. If I need a Beatles suit, I know where to go. You can go online, buy the boots, do the whole thing. But with the monkeys, it's totally not like that. So,
They definitely had some very distinct and different costumes.
Yes. For sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
So have you been able to find a Mickey poncho yet?
Yes. Yeah, we bought one. We bought one from the show. We went to see him. I mean, just for fun. I'm like, we got to have that. Yeah. And then like, you know, a few years later, we're like, you know, I think I still have that. And then we found the little, the striped shirt, that the striped turtleneck that Mickey's wearing underneath.
Nice.
Which is really cool. And so like, we're trying to make the Monkey Men what the Fab Four is to the Beatles. We're really trying to get as authentic guys as possible, look and sound, and can sing and play the parts as close to the records as possible, and make it something where monkeys fans can come in and just have a great experience. We're also trying to make a thing where it's going to be really fun. In fact, I wouldn't say requiring, but we're asking people, when you do come to a Monkey Men show, dress up, because we're having a costume contest.
Nice.
At every one of our shows. So come dressed as something from the 60s, either one of the Monkees or the Beatles or a Bobby or a go-go dancer or a hippie or whatever. And the best costume that night will win one of those Monkee guitars that Scott makes online. You know, those
logo guitars. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So just announcement to anyone that happens to be listening, I will be winning because I will be wearing my Mickey poncho and my Mickey turtleneck with my Nez puppet. So,
well, that's unfair. You're dressed as two Monkees.
I know.
But I think you will win.
Yeah. And he can play his little teeny tiny guitar. Doesn't make any noise, but looks awesome.
That's great.
Yeah. Even when we go to the Fab Four concerts, we tend to dress up. Veronica's always in 60s dress and go-go boots. And usually she's the one that security is telling to go sit down because she likes to get up and dance.
Yeah. I think that was one of the last shows we saw with where you were in it. It was the last time you guys were in Atlanta.
2018.
Yeah, back in 2018.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And security, I was the one that was up front dancing. And after the first act, security told me to sit down.
Yeah. Oh, well, hopefully the security and you know, sort of the COVID restrictions will sort of lighten up by the time we get back going, because we're bringing people up on stage and, you know, like you got to, you know, that kind of stuff has to happen with our show. Cause we, you know, the Monkees were fun. The Monkees were about having fun and good times and a simpler time. And we're encouraging people to do that. So, let's see what happens.
That will be fun. I'm going to love that experience. I'm really looking forward to it. Might have to take a trip out to California and see some shows.
Yeah, there's a lot of Monkees fans out here too. So I'm hoping to draw enough people to come in and make it worth everyone's while. And that's another thing. We just don't know. I mean, obviously with the Fab Four, we go around the world. So everybody knows the Beatles, but we're just not sure where this is going to go, how much legs it's going to have, or if we're going to be able to book our show nationwide, or we're going to be able to travel. But we're set up for it if it does happen, and we'll just keep our fingers crossed and see if it moves.
Yeah,
that's so exciting.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun to go to these shows. I mean, if anyone has never been to, you know, one of these types of shows, it's living the fantasy. You know, like I was born in 1980, so I could never go see the Beatles. It was not possible.
Right.
So going to a Fab Four show is the next best thing for me, you know.
That's exactly what it is. It's an alternate reality, like a fantasy, as something that would never have happened. You know, the Beatles singing Come Together live on stage, or A Day in the Life live on stage. And we're going to do the same thing with the Monkees, where hopefully you're able to see the guys as much as the characters as you can, and also hear the songs as you remember them from the records. And we're working really, really fine detail, combing through all the songs, who's playing what kind of guitar they're being used, what kind of keyboards they're using, sounds, and working on vocals and a bunch of other different things to make it, like you said, an experience. And it really is. Like at first, it's funny because Artie and I, we're the ones who started the Fab Four, and we were the ones who hated tribute bands. We hated them. We're like, no, stop it. Stop calling that guy John Lennon. He's not John Lennon. This is
so
disrespectful.
But you guys do it way different than a lot of other tribute
Thank
bands.
You. Thank you. I appreciate that. I mean, hopefully you can see what we've tried to do with the Beatles and now with the Monkees, that our love for the bands hopefully shows through, and you can see the love and respect that we have for those, and doing, that's exactly it, a loving tribute to those bands. And and we get a lot of comments like that, where it felt like we had a sound guy one time. He was like an assistant to the sound guy, and he had been at a couple other tribute shows, and he was a Mexican kid down here in California. He says, the thing I like about your show is there's not so much cheese on it.
That's fantastic. Really
cool. Yeah.
Awesome. So do you have a favorite Monkees record?
I'm holding right now. You can't see it?
No.
Well, I mean, Pisces Aquarius, you just can't go wrong with that album. I mean, I love Headquarters and For All It Meant to the Guys, but you know, as far as being a tight album and, you know, having professional musicians on along with the tunes. And I think it was a good combination between the real Monkees playing on and also the backing musicians, and just track for track, Pisces Aquarius. It's my favorite album of all time, much less. It actually tops Revolver as my favorite album of all time.
Wow.
So that tells you how much I love that album.
Absolutely. Yeah. And just a few years ago, you guys were doing the I don't remember if it was called the 60s sound at the time, but when you had Mark Lindsay and Mickey Dolenz touring with the Fab Four, and we weren't able to make it to one of those shows, but I wanted to ask you sort of how that came to be and what it was like, I mean, with those two guys on stage.
It was a dream come true. It really was, you know. Well, our relationship with Mickey kind of started, we would play these clubs and we were still playing the clubs out here in LA. We weren't, you know, the big thing that we are now, the big Fab Four, Emmy winning, all this stuff. So we were just a band playing in clubs. And Mickey, just before he'd go on some of those Monkees tours in the 90s, he would come out to our show at the club, kind of just sit there. And then just he said, hey, would you mind if I came up to sing a song? I found out
and
later.
And you're like, heck yeah.
We're like, no, we don't know any Monkees songs. What are you talking about?
Try out.
So it was like, it was really cool. He said, I found out later that what he said was when he's getting in tour mode, he likes to like get the feel of the microphone, get the feel of the monitors and just kind of get himself back into kind of show shape. Yeah. And so he sang Oh Darlin' with us a couple times and did some kind of stuff. So that's where you met Mickey. And somebody said, you know, it'd be cool is if you guys came out as the Beatles and then introduced the guys, because at the time, everyone was still around. Peter, Davey, and Mickey could come out, and the Fab Four could back the Monkees as, you know, and then you wouldn't have to pay anybody else. You know, the same band. I'm like, you know what? That makes a lot of sense. So I put a demo together for Andrew Sandoval, and we submitted it. They loved it. And but, you know, the problem was they already had a band. In fact, they had three bands in those days. Davey had a band, Peter had a band, and Mickey had a band.
Yep.
So it was just like that was put on the shelf. Well, 20 years later or whatever it was, Andrew called me up and said, hey, would you like to play with Mickey? We're trying to put together a kind of a 60s review where you guys play the Beatles. We do some Monkees. And I think he was trying to get Felix Cavallari from, you know, from the Rascals to do it. Mm. And then they mentioned Mark Lindsay. And I said, oh, that'd be amazing. That'd be a fun show. So we put that together and we toured around that for that year, the summer. I think that time it was called Summer 50 Summers of Love. Mm, yeah. But now that's turned into, like you said, the 60s sound where now it's just, I don't know if Mark's performing anymore, but. Now it's just the Beatles come out and then we introduce Mickey and Mickey sings, you know, the best of the Monkees while we're backing him.
Yeah. So when you're playing the Beatles, but you're playing Monkey songs, are you trying to do the Monkey sound or are you putting any Beatles flair into it?
No, it is a bit of split personality, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's Ron trying to be John, trying to be Davey, you know? I see my psychiatrist about that every once in a while, but, no, we try to do when Mickey's on stage, we try to do it as much like the Monkees as we can. Hmm. And then the latest incarnation of that show, which we're doing here in about a month, it's a private show, so no one's really going. But I'm using the actual Monkey Men as the Beatles.
Nice.
And then Mickey's coming out. But we're not going to be dressed. They're not going to be dressed as the Monkees. And, you know, and like I said, about as far as the Monkey Men's concerned, Mickey, you know, thinks it's cool and everything, but he doesn't have anything to do with that. Like when, like, you know, us dress, I don't think he's too hip on the idea of coming out with, you know, fake Davey and fake Peter.
That would be a little awkward.
That would be a little awkward. Turn back to the drums, you know, give him some advice about, hey, tell your alter ego here what you should do in the future, you know? But it's really a lot of fun. And that's kind of what we're trying to do. And that's what we're trying to do with the Monkees as well. With the Monkey Men is try to make it as authentic as possible and try to sound as much like the record as we can.
Yeah. Especially now that, you know, it's just Mickey remaining and it's sort of up in the air, whether he'll be doing Monkees themed shows or just doing his Mickey solo show. You know, his last show, he went out as Mickey Dolan celebrates the Monkees.
Yeah. Did you see that?
Yes.
Oh yes. Like, twice.
And it was great.
That was amazing.
Yeah. And so that's what it's a perfect time for the Monkey Men because there's something about just going out and just sharing with a crowd of fellow fans and singing the songs together. And at some point we'll come to the point where that'll stop. So I love that you guys are doing your part to keep that going.
Yeah.
That's what I think too. I think the timing's right and I found the right guys and everything seems to be moving in the right direction. So knock on wood. Let's see what happens.
Yeah. Very exciting. All right, Elaine, did you have anything you wanted to ask?
No, it's just a random thought more because I know when I saw the Fab Four, when was that? November?
Was the show we were at?
Yeah.
I think it was this past November.
Yeah.
It was, yes. Yeah, 2021. I thought it was kind of funny because the Beatles kept poking fun at the monkey. Mm-hmm. And so I guess I want to know, are the monkey men going to poke fun at the beetle during their show?
Well, you know, that's a good idea. We'll have that a poster up and we'll throw darts at it. You know,
yeah.
Yeah, we do have some stuff written in the show, obviously. I mean, that's an obvious connection that we can't avoid. Mm-hmm. And considering that most of the guys on stage also play the Beatles, that might be an interesting thing to do. But yeah, it's a good idea. We should.
Yeah, we always love that moment when in the Fab Four show when Ringo holds up the Monkees record and we always scream as loud as we can.
Yeah, while everyone else is booing.
Right.
We're the ones going, woo!
Yeah.
I know. It's funny because we used to mostly get kind of groans or boos or whatever. And nowadays we get more like cheers and stuff, good. Which is cool.
Yeah.
And then at the end of A Little Help for My Friends, Ringo, we tell him to stand up and take a bow. And he says, he is standing up. That was another thing that we took from the Monkees.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess the Fab Four, they're still going strong. How's it not being up on stage anymore with them?
Well, I am kind of 50% of the time right now because Adam is still in England. And so we'll fly him over when the gigs are right and when the time is right, it makes sense for him to come out. So I'm still about 50, 40% of the shows, but I feel like I've done what I've done. Mm. With the Fab Four, like I said, we have an Emmy, we have a Christmas record. I've done what I have nothing to prove anymore. I feel like, you know, I love being on stage. Don't get me wrong. I love that. But I think it's kind of time for me to move on and do something a little bit different. I mean, I'm still the president of the Fab Four. So, you know, I still get paid, which is good.
That's good. So,
just in case the monkey thing doesn't work out.
Right.
But it's just a pleasure. Here's the deal. Like after a few years, after about 10 or 15 years, it can get a little Groundhog Day.
I can imagine.
You know what I mean? Where it's like, where are we? And, you know, pretty much playing the same songs. Although we try to change it up the best we can. But before every show, I'm about half ready with my makeup, my John Lennon makeup. And I'll just go out and put my dressing room and just peer at the audience. And look at people with Beatles t-shirts and kids looking at the guitars and people taking pictures of the drums and the whole thing and just realize that a lot of these people, not only have they never seen us, they've never seen a Beatles tribute show before ever. And that kept my motivation going up. Some of these people are experiencing our show for the first time and that keeps me grounded. And I'm hoping the same thing that with the Monkees, people will be able to see the love that we have for that band and we'll be able to reflect on it together and just enjoy that great music together. I think it's a reflection of everyone's memories together.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. We have, you mentioned Hark, the Christmas album. We have Hark. Mm-hmm. We play it every year. And
that's because we pay you.
and the live album. And they're a lot of fun. And I was wondering if there's any thought about doing any more sort of Beatles-ish albums.
Well, it gets a little tricky. Yeah. Like, you know, the Hark thing was totally unique and the live albums are something that we can do. I mean, if we were going to re-record Abbey Road.
Right. Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
I just tell people, go buy Abbey Road. It's pretty good. You know, it's all right. Those guys did okay. So us live. Okay. I can understand that. And like I said, the Christmas album was totally unique and just a totally unique idea.
Yeah.
So, and then I'm not sure as far as the Monkees go, whether there's going to be any recordings or anything like that. We're just trying to take one thing at a time.
Sure. Yeah.
But you never know. We did that PBS special that we won the Emmy Award for. Mm-hmm. And that was, we have the soundtrack to that. So maybe if we do another PBS show, I'm not really sure what's in the future, but, you know, we love taking on anything. You know, there's a time when you know, especially with COVID, it's like if somebody says, we have a gig for you, we take it. You know, at this point, you know, especially now, it's just like, you know, we're real happy to be wanted.
Yeah.
I'm happy to talk to anybody about it, anybody who'll listen and anybody who'll come and buy a ticket and enjoy that music with us. We're willing to do it.
Awesome. And I found something. You guys were doing stand-in for a remake or a remastering of The Yellow Submarine.
Oh, that's right. So, well, what had happened was we got a strange call one year. I can't remember when it was. And they said they wanted to do this, what's called motion capture or mocap for short. And we did a couple Beatles songs with the suits on, those little weird suits with the balls on them.
Yep.
And they said, well, whatever, we'll call you. We did it in LA. We'll call you. And then we didn't realize what it was for. And then we got another call to go in and do it again. And what I realized was there was the two games, Guitar Hero and Rock Band. And what they were both doing was they were, I think they were both up for getting the Beatles catalog and putting it in their roster. So the first one we did was for Guitar Hero. They didn't get it, but Rock Band did get it. So we flew to New York and did a bunch of Beatles songs. So when you're playing Rock Band and you see the guy's movements, that's our movements.
That's awesome. That is the reason I got Rock Band.
It's so cool and very bizarre to see myself up there in cartoon form or whatever while I'm playing the game with my kids. But it was fun. So a very similar thing happened with Yellow Submarine, because obviously it was going to be in that same sort of style where it's 3D. And so Robert Zemeckis needed someone who really knew what they were doing on the instruments, because they weren't sure the actors were going to be able to, you know, even hold the guitars correctly, much less play the right chords. So he hired us on to do that, a similar thing for his Yellow Submarine project. And it was an experience. And we got to meet Danny Harrison and Olivia and a bunch of other different people. And it was a great experience. It was really cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. I hope someone eventually picks that up again, because the little clips that I saw of that, it looked amazing.
Didn't look awesome? It's really cool. And like some of those are just really sketchy renderings. They're not even complete ideas or anything like that. But think about what you could do with all that 3D stuff. You literally bring the Beatles back to life.
Yeah.
And it's really too bad. But I mean, you know, if you look at something like that, that's the kind of project that can be resurrected in a way, because all of the files are still in computers somewhere, and it's not like it's not like you have to go back and reshoot or anything like that, you know.
Right.
So I don't know, it's possible some point in the future, maybe if it gets some kind of clearance, that maybe we could see the light of day.
Yeah
It's an exciting time for that kind of stuff, like Get Back just recently coming out, and it's just great to have this great resurgence of just interest. You know, I mean, people are always interested in the Beatles, but anytime there's like a new Mark Lewisohn book or a new, you know, a big documentary like Get Back, it's just fun to see just my social media feeds just explode with the Beatles again.
Yeah,
it is. And I've always said, even back when we first started, because like Anthology came out when I was pretty much getting started. Someone asked me, do you think the Beatles are always going to be relevant? And I said, as long as they keep themselves in the public eye, I don't think there's going to be a problem there. And even if they don't, I don't think there'll be a problem. But something like the Monkees, it's really nice that they're back on TV and they get some exposure, and Mickey's out touring and some different things. Maybe we'll make a little noise and stuff like that. But it is exciting. I mean, you guys, like I said, you guys are younger than me. So you guys are in that second. Like my niece grew up with the Monkees and that whole 86 thing.
Yeah.
She was 9 and fell in love with Davey. You know, I had to explain to her that he was 20 years older
than
that.
He's not that age
anymore. Exactly. He's not 18 anymore, sweetie.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like so hopefully we'll get some of those fans at our shows too, you know, some of that second generation. But with the Beatles, I think like kind of like if you haven't discovered the Beatles by the time you hit college, you will. And then by that time, you're a Beatles fan. So hopefully we'll always have job security, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm hoping that the Monkey Men get some traction. I hope that I know there's an audience for it now. Not necessarily the Beatles size audience, but I think every time we go to shows and there's just
packed.
The enthusiasm for it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, well, Mike and Mickey sold out the Greek over here, but I mean, that is Mike and Mickey.
Right.
We're not any of the Monkees, but I'm hoping that, it's a good enough product where, because we don't sell out the Greek either as a Fab Four, but we will sell out the Grove Theater here and House of Blues and other venues that are half the size or whatever. So that seems to be our market. And hopefully that can be the same thing for the Monkey Men. We'll see. I mean, I have a pretty good show written. I think people are really going to like it. A lot like Mickey, we have tributes to the guys who've passed away. And so I think it's going to be really good. Well, again, I have no idea what's going to happen with it. Right now, it's kind of just a fun project. We'll see where it goes. And then it'll be up to people like you guys to make it work, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. We'll be there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So I got 3 tickets sold right now.
Yeah, that's absolutely. Right.
Good. All right.
Yep. Flat California if you have to. Darn.
I've known some people who said they would. So that's really nice.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. So I had a kind of a question about when you were creating the show, kind of what kind of research did you do in creating the show for the Monkey Men?
Well, as much research as I did for the Beatles, none. I just open up my, turn on the records and put on the CDs and the DVDs and just have fun with it. But no, I have been writing. I have a whole a notebook here and a whole bunch of other different things that, the Monkees have so much stuff to pull from, mm-hmm. Entire almost 60 episodes and the movie and the TV special and inside jokes. And I don't know if you noticed, but when we did the show with Mark Lindsay and, I had Mark hold up a sign above my head that says he's really playing this, you know what I mean? So like only you guys would laugh. So we have stuff like that in the show and we have stuff, that'll be very inside Monkees, but also stuff that'll work to a general crowd who only know, maybe the greatest hits and those kinds of things. Yeah. But,
that's the kind of I'm a believer from Smash Mouth.
Exactly.
That was me. A long time ago.
Oh, I know. I heard that on one of the other episodes. That's totally funny. Well, but everybody turns on to the groups at a different time. We had one young girl who said she got turned on to the Beatles from Oasis. Wow. So I'm like, okay, because Oasis said they were their favorite band. The Beatles were their mm-hmm. favorite band.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow. I mean, talk about coming full circle, but
yeah.
Yeah. My daughter's at an age, she's 15. So she's almost 16. So she's at an age where just anything dad likes is automatically lame. So anytime an artist that she likes mentions anybody, the Doors, the Beatles, whomever, I'm like, see, they like them too. which doesn't impress her.
It will. Give it some time. I mean, people always say kids don't have any taste in music or today's music is blah. I'm like, well, maybe, but eventually. That's kind of, I I've experienced with my own kids. It's just like, my own kid came up to me and said, hey, Dad, have you ever heard of Alan Parsons Project? I'm like, yeah. I was like, it's just so weird to see them discovering things on their own, which is just like, which to you and me are just like, it's an old hat to us. We know that stuff.
Yeah.
So I think as long as people like good music that the Beatles and the Monkees will carry on.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right. So, Ron, where can people find more of you on the internet?
Well, basically, if you're interested in the Beatles thing, everything is gone through the fab4.com. You'll find us there. Most of our fans are Facebook kind of people. So we have Facebook and Twitter and all that other stuff, Instagram and a website, and you can find out where we're playing. We tour all around the country and all around the world. As the Beatles. And then with the Monkey Men, I have a domain, monkeymen.com, which right now has nothing on it, but we're working on trying to get that going along with, I think you can look up Monkey Men on Facebook as well, because we figure that's kind of our demographic.
Yeah.
So, and soon we will have some songs up and some demos and you'll be able to see what we look and sound like. And because we're going to shop that stuff to the agents and see if they'll book us.
Yeah.
And we'll take it from there.
Awesome.
That's awesome. How about you, Elaine?
You can find me on Twitter at Monkeying Around and on our Facebook group, Monkeying Around.
And how about us, Chuck?
Feltnerdy.com.
And?
Earth Station Trek, our podcast about Star Trek.
All right. Thanks for monkeying around. Thanks for monkeying around with us. Be sure to like and subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform. Check us out on Twitter, Facebook, and monkeyingaround.com.
Got the Monkees. Mm-hmm. They were a major influence on the Beatles.
Yeah, I know.